Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we thank you for tuning in to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap, and we've just honored that you've taken your time out of your schedule to join us this evening. We're here talking about possessions, resources, and finances, and more especially on tonight, we're going to be talking about tithing. We've been on this subject for a couple of weeks, and if you know, like I know, sometimes you just can't cover something as big as this in just 1 week or just one show. So, as we continue to say week after week, the PRF table is not a show about getting you out of debt, helping you just straight up with your finances or cleaning up your credit. It's much bigger than that. This is really about connecting the dots, trying to help everybody see how your possessions, your resources, and your finances actually connect or interconnected, just like we are as people living in community with one another. Everybody is connected in one shape, manner, or form. And this really is about a creative learning process for those maybe just tuning in for the first time. You know, we're led by God, and what we're doing, we're growing as the host of this show. We hope that you're growing as well, those of you who have been listening. And it's important for us, and we know it's important for you, that we are breaking down some of these spiritual barriers that are up and really are holding people back from whatever it is that God has in their life, or reaching the potentials that God has. So with that, let's go ahead and get everybody sitting down at the table. So, Brother Feaster, how you doing this evening?
I'm making it, JR. I'm making it. I'm here. We're going to start right there, and I'm excited to learn.
I got you. Well, you're going to have to get it together, brother, because you know how we're coming tonight. Sister Paula, how you doing tonight?
I am fabulous. How are you all?
We are good. Did you hear how she responded, Brother Feaster? She sounds fabulous. All right.
I was trying to make up for his exhaustion.
Thank
we
got
to lift each other up.
I'm excited to learn as well.
Well, that's good. I am too. I'm sure I'm going to learn something as well. And Adia, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I cannot complain.
Well, let me just tell you where we are tonight. You know, tonight we're talking about tithing, but tonight the show that we're going to be dealing with, and I thought long and hard, and y'all know this, is the condition of the storehouse. And for those of you who just maybe tuning in for the first time, for the last 2 weeks, we've really been talking about tithing. Last week in particular, we were talking about Malachi chapter 3, but not just chapter 3. As Brother Feaster has said in a previous show, the beatdown scriptures, verses 8, 9, and 10. But what we have done was we're really taking this and really talking about it in a way that I think a lot of people are being blessed by. I can tell you that we had about 2,000 people that were looking at the show on Facebook for the previous week, and we had over 10,000 people that was looking at the comments from last week. So I think there's a lot of people that are very, very interested, and we've never had those type of numbers before. So we are really thanking God that he's in the mix and he's bringing people that need to hear this, and we just hope that the conversation can continue. So before I just go ahead and get it jump-started, Brother Feasters, Sister Paula, Adia, y'all have anything from last week that y'all want to just bring to the listeners?
I'm just ready to speak.
All right.
want to encourage, you know, everyone that's listening, just to invite other people to listen and listen with an open heart and listen with an open heart and just be receptive to what's being said and invite other people to come to and join us at the table also.
Exactly, exactly. Because, again, you know, this is not about us just having a conversation. This is about everybody being able to have an opportunity to sit down at the table. So, Brother Feaster, did you have any comments from last week's show or anything you wanted to bring to the table before we get started?
I really didn't have the opportunity to listen to all that last week's show, and I came in late. So I am here in receive mode today. I got my notepad out, and I'm here to listen and learn.
All right. Well, let me tell you what God really impressed upon my heart. I was thinking, for whatever reason, about last week's show, and thinking about what Paula was bringing to the table about the purpose for the tithe, and we really just had a couple of questions that we really want everybody who's listening to get involved in. So if at any time you want to join into the conversation, which we hope that you do, please press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you on the switchboard, and we'll just bring you in. You don't have to wait for us to pose a question. You can come in and pose a question if you want. Also, if you are online, if you go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, you'll see us communicating on Facebook. We already have some questions out there, and we just want other people to just get involved because we know there's some people that don't like to come on the radio, and we understand that and respect that wholeheartedly. All right, so here we go. The question that I had was this. It's a question and it's kind of a statement. We're giving tithes, right? We know that there are a lot of people out here, a lot of Christians out here that are giving tithes. The question is there meat in the storehouse? That's the first question, y'all, and we just need to bat this ball back and forth. Is there meat in the storehouse? You know, is it enough? What's in the storehouse? So with that, you know, let's talk about it. What does it even mean by meat in the storehouse? I think when I looked it up, it meant food, and it meant meat as well. So that was the translation. So how do we translate that today? What should be inside of the storehouse for us to be able to get an understanding of the condition? Go ahead.
I can tell you what I have heard. I have to definitely ask for forgiveness because my past 2 weeks and the next 3 weeks have been so jam-packed, I really haven't been doing a good study. But I can tell you what I have heard. Over the years, when they're talking about meat in the storehouse, it's one of two things that has been said. One thing that has been said is there any money in the storehouse? Does the church have any money? Is there money stored up? Which has always been a point of interest for me because, especially with most churches being 501c, you can't even have a profit. But yet there's money being held up and stored up for, you know, of course, the infamous building project and other things like that. The other thing I was told about is there meat in the storehouse was, and they referenced the meat to the word, was a word being preached. And that's a whole different area that we can dig into. But those are the two things that I've heard over the years that they referenced that particular scripture to. But over the past couple of weeks, and what I've learned and what I've been listening to, I really believe that both of those are wrong. Because what I'm reading and what I'm understanding about the tithe has really little to do with the church itself, but for those that are in need. So that's what I've been told over the years.
Paula, what do you say?
Excuse me?
What do you say? What's your understanding? What's your interpretation of where the storehouse is, or what is the storehouse?
The storehouse, according to the Old Testament, was a location in the back of the temple where the tithe was held. And it was held there for the purpose of feeding and clothing the homeless and the widow and the fatherless child. So, as Brother Feaster just stated, the current use of the tithe is not biblically based according to the Bible, according to the purpose of the tithe in the Old Testament, I'll say. Maybe God came up with something new that he didn't tell me about, but according to the Old Testament, it was used for the widow and the fatherless and the poor, basically.
Let me tell you what I was able to get in. Jay, if you want to jump in, just go ahead. You know, there was three scriptures, and I encourage everybody while we're conducting the show this evening to get these three scriptures. The first is going to be Numbers chapter 18, verse 21 to 32. The second is Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 to 33. And the third is Deuteronomy 14, verse 22 to 29. And what I saw when I started looking at those, all three of those scriptures was what you were talking about, Paula. There is a purpose and an intention for the tithe. What I'm finding out is, or what I'm believing is, if we're not talking about what the purpose of the tithe, how can we ever say that there's enough meat in the storehouse to take care of whatever the needs are? I'm really believing that there has to be some type of understanding of, one, what is the storehouse? I think, I consulted with an Old Testament scholar and theologian from my seminary days, and I asked him, I said, is it a very big leap to go from taking in Malachi chapter 3, the storehouse, and saying in today's time, in the New Testament dispensation, as we say, the church, making that an equivalent? And he said, no, it's really not a jump. He can see how we can easily make that leap. So if we're considering the storehouse to be the church, then the question is, what is it that we're bringing to the storehouse? And I think we've talked about that a little bit on previous shows. At least we've tap danced sort of around it. What is it that we're bringing? If we look at Malachi, and Paula, you correct me if I'm wrong, excuse me, because you've done a lot more studying than I have on it. It was food, it was agricultural items, it was the same things that they were used to and accustomed to bring into the storehouse from back in the days of Deuteronomy, back in the days of when God first placed that law into effect, because they were agricultural people. So money was not what they were bringing to the storehouse back in that time.
Well, if I can respond to that really quickly. That was a different time, and we have to be realistic when we look at situations. That was a different time and era where most people farmed, most people raised their own animals. So they had that to bring, you know, as the animals mated and created babies, they were able to tithe from the babies that were born. But today we don't have those means, so we use what we have. And I can truly understand money being the capital source of tithing at this time. However, tonight's topic is there enough in the storehouse for the people? So looking at it that way, I'm not a pastor, so I can't say whether or not there's enough money in the church, but I'm sure these mega churches should have a large storehouse. If I can say that.
Well, I like to add, I do know that churches, some churches have a criteria. I can't say this for all churches, but I know that some churches have a criteria that if you do have a need to request financial assistance from the storehouse, some churches have it to where you have to fill out an application and apply, and it has to go before a board, and, you know, it has to be approved. It has to be approved. And then you have some churches to where, you know, they will only give you financial assistance if you have been a faithful tither, faithful in giving of your tithes and offering.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I can't wait to respond to that one right there.
And there are some churches to where if you have a need and, you know, and they know that you just have a need, I mean, there's no questions being asked. What I do think has happened is that some people may have abused, and I'm not going to say some people may, I'm not going to say may have, but some people have abused that from the church. But I think that it's worth us, I think it's worth for us to look at that part of it when, you know, when we look at the, you know, us living in the 21st century and how there are different, I guess, levels or different ways of, you know, what's in the storehouse as it relates to can the people get what's there in the storehouse.
Mm. Go ahead, Paula. And what you're talking about, dear, you're talking about access. And I think Paula hit on it as well. But go ahead, Paula.
Wow. I don't know where to begin. I love the questions, you guys. But it was a misfortune that I just interrupted a dear saying I want to touch on that. But because now I don't know where to begin. But let me say this. You all know that in my first show, I testified as to how well God blessed me. Well, the actual church that I was attending, I tithed to that church, and I gave them $100,000. Now, there was a point in my life where, and I'm laughing because this show is so fitting, there was a point in my life when I needed assistance from that church, and I went back, and I wasn't even asking for 10% of what I had given to them. And they didn't ask me to fill out an application. They didn't ask me what my need was. They simply told me no.
Oh,
whoa.
I wasn't
no.
expecting
wow.
that one. I was not expecting that one.
Wow.
Well, I'll say it was kind of subtle because the thing was I spoke with the pastor himself. You know how you most times have to speak with the finance department or whatever. But I guess because I had given such a large amount, I had access to the pastor. So I spoke with him and I told him what I needed. And he said, well, if you're not getting put out of your house or if you're not basically homeless, we can't help you. And that absolutely threw me for a loop.
that's sad. That Ooh. Is that's sad. But and I'm gonna tell you, there's a reason why God is having us talk about this right now. Because you're not the only person that experienced that. I know people in my own church that can't get assistance or couldn't get assistance. Or another church that I've been a part of where, you know, getting assistance from the church has been one of those things where you got to go through a bunch of what I would call foolishness. And let me tell all the listeners that's listening, there are just some things that just make sense to me. And one thing that makes spiritual sense, and not just spiritual sense, but also common sense, is that we don't have to live in ignorance. And we don't have to live in a fear of being able to just ask questions, especially that God can give revelation to. There's people out there, y'all, who have started tithing and then stopped for whatever reason. There's people out there who have trust issues or hurt issues or who've had trust or hurt issues with the church and money. There's some of you out there listening that are new to Christianity. There's some that just want to hear what we're talking about. I believe that God is really tired. I believe he's tired because I'm also tired. And I believe God connects with the heart of those who have a heart for him.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason in the world why so many people are experiencing some of the crap that they are and have experienced when it comes to money in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I mentioned those three scriptures is because if we don't take the time sometimes to learn the things of God, whether it's for ourselves or whether it's for somebody else, then we'll continue, or some will continue to be in a continual or perpetual cycle over and over and over with the same thing. in my mind, and I, like I said, sometimes I just think some stuff is just real simple to me. There shouldn't be people going through some of the stuff that they're going through when it comes to church and money. There shouldn't be all these different standards out there for everybody making up their own rules. Because what it does, that new Christian that hears about how you handle your money, how you handle money in your church idea, and then sees that it's a whole lot different than the church that they're at, now they're kind of confused. And I'm going to be honest with you. We know the word says God is not the author of confusion. So it takes conversations like this. It takes dialogue like this for us to be able to say, let's just put some things out there and be real with it, because people want us to be real, and I'm dropping the mic.
Well, JR, you brought up a lot of stuff, and I think when you said something about trust, that right there is a big thing. We do have an issue with parishioners not trusting the very financial committee that runs the church that they've been going to for years. I remember being a member of a church, and whenever there was a church meeting, for some odd reason, the majority, especially the chairman of the financial committee, was never at the meeting. So when those financial questions came up, there was no one there to answer. The other thing, too, is I really believe that now, I'm going to say society has played a part in why we are so, I'm going to say, tight with the money and the criteria. But my thing for that is I understand that, okay, yeah, there should be some type of, you know, criteria. There should be some type of screening. Okay, yeah, I can understand all that. But it should be fair and equal across the board. It shouldn't be because this person gave this person, or this person can't do, or this person has this man. It should be fair and equal across the board, fair and impartial. And that will help. But the bottom line is, and I keep going back and I keep looking at this, you know, is there meat in the storehouse? I really believe we do not understand what that question means. Because I was going to say, for us to really get an understanding of this, we got to come to a commonality of what is meat and what is the storehouse. Because you can go down to First Baptist on Assembly Street and they'll say, yeah, we got plenty of meat in the storehouse because we got plenty of money in the bank. But then you go over here to Second Baptist on Second Street and they say, yeah, we got plenty of meat in the storehouse because we have a food bank. But then you go over here to Third Baptist on Third Street, and I'm just calling out names and stuff and streets. And they'll say they have plenty of meat because they're a Bible-based church. So we don't really understand what it means to have meat in the storehouse. And we don't even see in today's time, we don't see the church as a storehouse anymore. If most people have a financial problem, they're going to some type of bank. They're going to some type of financial institution. They are not going to the church. Most people that have a physical problem, they're going to the doctor. Most people that have problems, the last place that they go is the church. We've got to the point to where church is just a place where we go and worship God with a lot of shouting, screaming, singing. We don't see the church as an entity where we can go to satisfy or fulfill our not only spiritual needs, but our physical needs. And because we've gotten to that point as a whole, we do not know what it means to have meat in the storehouse, because the church is no longer the storehouse. I have my situation and my things that I deal with, and I'm fine with that. And you have yours. And if I have a need, in most cases, the last place I'm going to go is the church. And a bit of testimony here, there was a time when I needed some money, and God actually told me that it was going to be taken care of. And he actually took care of it in the church. And the funny thing was, it wasn't with the financial committee. God had placed it on somebody else's heart to bring some extra money to church, and that's how my need was met.
Mm.
That's what I understand. There's meat in the storehouse. That didn't go to the financial. Matter of fact, I had called the church and told him about my situation. He said, we got you. See us tomorrow. I called him back the next day and said, I've been taken care of. So when I understand meet in the storehouse, it's not me going and talking to the pastor, the deacon, the financial committee. It's me having a need, and someone in that church either fulfills that need or points me in the right direction to fulfill that need. That's the way I understand it, and that's the way I see it as opposed to what I'm seeing in the Bible as opposed to what we're doing in today's time. Today's time, the church is a place to sing, hear the word, see the people you ain't seen all week, and then go home. But that is not what God, that's not what I see biblically in the church. It is so much more than we've limited to. We've limited God in so many different areas and so many different things. And so now here we are dealing with the tithe, and we've limited to just money, and we've limited to this money is only for the upkeeping and the upbuilding of the church. But yet Fayetteville has 12 to 15% homeless. But we got a church every 2 to 5 miles. So how does that work? So I'm dropping the mic. I'm done.
I don't know, but what you've done, you've struck a chord in a couple of people. So we have a couple of callers that are on the line. So let me just bring on the first caller calling from the last 4-3-5-7-9. How you doing this evening?
Well, good evening, sir. How you doing? I just want to say truly a blessing to be on the show tonight, and I thank God for Brother Dunlap, his Brother Parks, and all your hosts that you have on tonight. You truly have brought some deep issues when it comes to the tithe and the storehouse. And like my brother said, he said, you got to really know what the storehouse is really there for. Mm-hmm. And then we have to, you know, you're going to have the issues about benevolence, and you're going to have the issues about who is authorized to handle the money and all of that good stuff. But we have to remember back in Malachi 3, God is calling us, he was calling us to repentance, to bring it back to him. See, I think what it is, a lot of times we kind of get in our minds or whatever as people when we bring the tithe and offering to the house of God. We're looking at the flesh. We're looking at the people that are handling the money, and I have to be careful because I've done that in the past myself. But I have to pray about it. Say, Lord, this is for the upkeep of the kingdom. If I'm doing according to your word, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in his house, not the pastor's house, not the deacon's house, not the finance committee's house. Because what happens is you have people that handle the money, and they're being entrusted to do the right thing with the money. And a lot of times they're not doing the right things with the money. But we can't get caught into it because, you know, it's a heart issue then when we get caught up and say, you know, what are they doing? What are they really doing with the money? Because, you know, if my friend over here, if my brother and sister over here asking for a donation or asking for something, some assistance, and they can't get it. That, matter of fact, the young lady that's on, the host that's on there tonight, that said she brought $100,000 to the church, and then when she had a need, when a need arose in her life, in her situation, she went to ask for some assistance and couldn't get any assistance. That right there would put a big lump, put a giant lump in your throat, and really say, okay, what's really going on in the church? What's really happening? I've been on the finance committee. I've been on the deacon board and all that other stuff, and realized that people, it kind of brought up about Judas. Judas handled the money first. and you kind of wonder why, where was his heart at when he handled the money? You know what I'm saying? One of the disciples that walked with Jesus handled the money. And you kind of get into a place where, okay, Lord, what are they really doing with my money? It ain't your money. It's not your money. God is just letting you be in a steward over what he's given us, money, time, effort, possession, resources, all of that. But when we're taught, all of us have been taught in one way, shape, or form, pay your tithe, give your tithe, give your tithe, give your offering. In one way, shape, or form, and beat upside the head about it in many different ways. If you don't pay your tithe, if you don't give your offering, if you don't do this, you don't do that, you're robbing God now. right? And so you hear those messages where what's really going on with the monies in the church, and what do we do with it? One person said, you know, talked about the 501c3. We understand all about that. Yeah, you can't keep the money sitting around for no purpose. It has to have a purpose. And
but Brother Clark, hold on, let me check this out. Nobody makes any church or organization a 501c3. That's a trust.
Right.
So
right.
I don't really even want to hear, well, we can't really do this because forget all that. That's a choice
right.
that the institution has made that they wanted certain breaks
right.
from a
exactly.
government that they often criticize. Don't let me go there. So the reality is we don't have to deal with some of the things that we are dealing with. We deal with some of the things we're dealing with because of the choices that we make,
uh-huh.
whether
but
it's inside the church or not.
But the point is, what do we do as people of God, men and women of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, what do we do to fix this problem? Where's the fix at? That's the question.
That's
all right.
Question.
Well, we got some people that may want to answer. So, for the parts, we surely appreciate you. What do we do to fix it? You know, respond to that question. Those of you who are on the line waiting to call right now or waiting to listen. So let's go to the next caller, calling with the last four of 9246. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good evening to everybody. How are you tonight?
We're doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm absolutely fantastic. Some greetings to all that are here on tonight. There's a couple things I want to touch on briefly. One is, and I just find it kind of funny, maybe my mind works so differently, but the brother that was just speaking was saying about Judas, how one that was chosen by God, I mean by Christ, was in charge of the money. And we also recognize that the one that was in charge of the money is the one that betrayed him. That's a totally separate point. that's a totally separate point. I just thought that was funny. That just hit my mind as he was speaking, that we can be very close to Christ in one way, but our focus is somewhere else. But that's something
that's
different.
Right.
What I wanted to really address is what Brother Fisa had brought up. And we realized that Jesus often spoke to shepherds and to those that were not considered well-educated and those that were not considered very wealthy. So he spoke very basically. And we look in retrospect with theology and with philosophy and with all of these things that really make a good sermon, but we often get out of the point. And the question that was asked, and I loved it, what is meat and what is the storehouse?
That's right.
And those basic questions, meat is nourishment, and the storehouse is where the nourishment is kept. That is the purpose of the church, to nourish the man.
Wow.
That's going to be to nourish him mentally, to nourish him spiritually, and to nourish him physically. So the meat is the nourishment of the man, and the church is the storehouse. The gifting, the finances, the education, the ability, all of these things should be heaped up in the church. And thank you for allowing me to have a point this evening. May God bless you.
I want to hear that again. I want to hear that again.
Right.
Go back and listen to the archives.
That was awesome.
Well, hey, we got one more caller that's on the line. Again, like I said, y'all got it cranking early in the show. Caller, you have a caller from the last four of 6866. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, the comment I just want to make is the church has become more like of a business now.
Yes.
Instead of helping out people in the community and in the church, it's more like of a business now, you know. Instead of educating the churchgoer in finance, getting nonprofit organizations how to become homeowners, how to save, you know, how to budget, you know, and now it's more like of a business. You have to make an appointment to see the pastor. You know, what type of they strayed away from what the church used to be like. You know, like if your lights used to go off and you need assistance from the church, you can get that. If you wanted to go visit people that was in the hospital that was sick, you can do that. But now it's more like of a business. So I think they need to get back to the way it used to be, where you can help all your your churchgoers, financial assistance, homeowners, self-independent, or business owner.
My name is Derek. All right, Derek, I appreciate it. And let me respond to the caller. You know, one of the things I think about is it even fair for us to even want what the caller just said? Should the church, should your church, wherever you go to church, have all of these things? I'm going to say my opinion is no. Because God does not, I mean, the word tells us clearly, to some he gave apostles and pastors, evangelists and teachers and prophets. And then you go to another book, he doesn't mention all five of those that God gave to the church. So God doesn't give, and I think this is one of those concepts that I think we really need to consider on. God does not give every single entity that calls itself a church the same thing. He gives us diversity of gifts for the people that are there. And if we were living in community with one another, when we have 13 churches all on one same strip of land, then that's going to say, you know what? We may not have a good youth ministry or an anointed youth ministry or whatever terminology you want to use at my particular church. Well, let's deal with what we're talking about. We may not have a ministry like PRF in my church, but two churches down the road, they may have it over there. If people stop being ignorant and stop being so closed-minded, then maybe somebody from my church can go a couple churches down the street to your church and say, you know what, let me soak up this. Let me soak up what's over there. If we had over 500 people that listened to last week's show, that lets me know something. That lets me know that maybe some people are listening to the show because in their own church body, and I'm not downing it, but just within their church body, maybe there's not the key people to do what we're doing on this show. And I want to encourage everybody, it is perfectly okay that everything that you're looking for inside of your church is not there. That means you got to have a relationship with other people.
Right.
You got to have a relationship with other people. So, Adia, Paula, what do y'all have?
Well, I just wanted to comment on earlier on what Feaster was saying. And as I was listening to him and, you know, asking the questions, and one of the things that came to mind is that when you look at, you know, when you go to the storehouse, it's kind of like there's a welfare society mentality. And I want to say that when Paula was talking, you know, and they flat out told her no because she wasn't getting ready to be put out of her place and, you know, she wasn't near being homeless. I mean, that's the stuff that the social services tells people, you know, that you got to be below the poverty line in order for us to help you. That's what the government is telling us. So is the church becoming so political now and picking up that of the social services mentality that we can't even help people and we won't see beyond the natural but see the spiritual need? We were talking about this in my discipleship class on yesterday that sometimes we get so focused on what we see in a man or a woman that we are missing what God is truly saying to us. We get so caught up in the natural hype of stuff that we're missing the spiritual aspect. And I just think that it is sad that we live in a day and time to where we will have a welfare society mentality that in order for you to get assistance from the church that you have to live below the poverty line or almost being put out of your house or homeless in order to get assistance from the church. And I say that because when you look at Acts and how the people, when the Holy Spirit came, and these people, and it said that daily people were being added to the church, that the people, they came together with all of their possessions. Why? Because there were Gentiles who were persecuted and who were banished from where they lived, and they left with no possessions, with no resources or no finances, but they knew that they had a heart that loved God, and they knew that they could just get to where the other people of God were at, that their needs were going to be taken care of. And we have shied away from that because we got a welfare mentality that unless you broke, busted, and disgusted, that's the only way that God can bless you, and certainly that's the only way that we're going to bless you. But yet and still, we want to preach prosperity messages in our churches while people still don't have enough food to put on their table, or don't know after they've gone to work and paid their bills, they still may not have enough money to pay on their electric bill. And that's, I just really wanted to just hone in on the fact of how the church sometimes can mimic what the world looks like. But Romans 12:2 says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And if our minds aren't being renewed, then we will begin to look and act and think like the world, and even treat the people of God the way the world would treat other people in the world. And that is just wrong.
Can we do this, though? Can we stop saying we? Because if we say we on this show all the time, then people listening, those who are on the fence, those who may not have come to Christ, those who have died away from the church, are going to believe that there is nothing going on in the whole body of Christ. And that's not true. You know, so the way we speak about some of these things, it's important. It's not that that there's nobody out there that understands tithing. I think Pastor Sherrod understands tithing. I think I understand tithing. I think some of the other callers who have called in, to respond to what one of the callers said, so what do we do about it? What do we do about it? We can talk about and have conversations and dialogue as we're doing, but we have to transform that dialogue and that conversation into practical application. And one of the things that we can do for practical applications is let's identify where the problem is. If we as Christians, and I'm throwing the we out there, if we as Christians are constantly talking about stuff in broad terms, you'll never get anything fixed.
Mm-hmm.
A person who says I'm broke, to me, somebody says they're broke to me, I have a choice. I can either say, here you go, here's some money, or I can say, well, what's wrong? And try to help that person get to a place where they're understanding why they're broke. Right now, we're talking about the condition of the storehouse, right? Brother Feaster, you brought up two important questions, which is the whole nook and cranny of this whole thing. What is meat and where is the storehouse? And when we go back to the biblical references of the storehouse, there was a purpose for what was being brought to the storehouse. There was a purpose for it. If we go back to Deuteronomy, God gave Deuteronomy 14, when God gave that commandment, he was really clear in what he wanted to do. He wanted everybody, he said to the children of Israel, they had some things that they had to do first. One thing they had to do, they had to enter into the promised land. So the law of tithing wasn't even in effect until they actually entered into the promised land. But once they got in the promised land, there were some other things that they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
They had to conquer the enemy that was inside of the promised land. And then they had to dwell there. So they couldn't just be expected to tithe as soon as they got into the promised land, which is another one of the key issues with tithing. You have individuals that are in the church, myself, Brother Feaster, we all talked about this before. We become Christians, and then there's that expectation automatically that we're supposed to tithe, because that's what's constantly being said over and over and over in a lot of churches. But they had some things that they had to do, and God gave them provision. He gave them time to actually get what was actually required of their tithe. If you go back to Deuteronomy 14, God said, tithe in the place that I tell you to tithe.
Mm.
The exact words was, in the place the Lord your God chooses. And now I'm about to trip everybody out. The place that the Lord your God chooses was not the place where they lived at. Go back and look at it. Because if it was in the place that they were living, matter of fact, let me just say it like this. It was called the Central Sanctuary. That means the promised land was big for those. The land of Canaan was very big for those who really want to go back and look at it. You know, we're about education and learning as well. For all of those tribes and all of those abundance of people that entered into the promised land, there had to have been enough space for them to do everything that they needed to do. And the enemies that was inside of the promised land, and I think I mentioned this before, the enemies that were inside of the promised land, they had to conquer one, next tribe had to conquer the other, and everybody helped in that process. So what can we do, Brother Parks? We can help people with the process. Help them maybe take a step back. I say it all day long. If somebody's just giving 10%, I think God wants us to tithe versus give 10% if that's what you believe God wants you to do. So for somebody just to be giving, 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 saying, well, I'm tithing, have no understanding, no concept, let's take a step back. Let's educate them. Let's see, okay, what does Deuteronomy 14 says? I'm done. I'm done, y'all. Do we need to go to a music break or y'all want to keep going?
I want to say something, Nate, and I just want to thank you for setting me free. And I say that, I am so serious, because I used we because I think sometimes we can, and I'm using we now, can become removed as if, you know, we're not a part of what's going on. Because if, not in a derogatory or negative sense, but definitely if you're not helping or giving a solution, then you're being a hindrance. It's kind of how I'm looking at that. So I want to say thank you for freeing me to know that the word we does not have to always be inclusive to everybody, because there are people, I believe that there is a majority or remnant of people that are doing right by God, that are teaching and sharing and helping other people be free as well when it comes to our possession, resources, and finances. And one thing that I've learned going to school for counseling is that instead of saying we have to use the word I, which makes us take ownership and responsibility for our actions and our behaviors and the lack thereof, or whatever it is that we're giving. So I thank you so much just for expounding on we versus the I, because it is time that we as believers and as Christians start to take responsibility to say, this is what I'm doing. I did this. I did not do that. Or I'm not doing these things, so that we can feel like we have a place, so that if we're not doing what we need to do, we can take ownership and allow God to build us up in those areas so that we can impact the kingdom of God. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I wanted to touch on what the gentleman said when he asked, what do we do now? Well, I believe that we do what we're actually doing here, holding a forum to educate Christians to know what the tithe is centered around, because I know when I began tithing, as happy as I was about it, I never knew what it was for until I actually studied. And it took for God to tell me, stop tithing, in order for me to look at it and say, why am I doing this? But, Adia, I wanted to say to you, the reason I can laugh now and I'm happy about where I am is because all the years that I tithed, And I still tithe, but it's a difference now, and I know that there's a difference there. It's because I did it from my heart, and I know who my source is.
Mm-hmm.
When he told me no, I still stood on the fact that God says yes, and my need was met. But it's all about knowing what you're doing and who you're doing it for.
That's
and
right.
And I dropped him.
Paula, you are family now. You are no longer a guest. You are just one of us. Brother Feaster, you burning in your seat over there, bro?
I'm full. I am so full. I am so full because so much has just come out that it's just unreal. I like the question, what do we do now? Because, J.R., you alluded to this, too, and you say this all the time. You know, we can sit and talk about it all day. We can sit and have dialogue all day, and things will still be the way that they are. I mean, we really need to, and I'm using we really need to get to a point and a place where, like you said years ago, we need to be challenged to change. For some people, it's easy to step up and step out and accept the change. For some people, it's easy to go against the norm. For some people, it's easy to go cold turkey. I am not one that – I've been trying to go cold turkey with my eating for a very long time, about 3 or 4 years. And every time I try to go cold turkey with, like, cutting back on sweets, that's when that's all I pray for and want is sweets. So it's not as easy as some people. So we have to figure out individually. I have to figure out within myself, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of black backlash that at certain churches, at certain places, that if you begin to talk like this, or even if you don't do the dialogue, you just start acting into what you believe and what you understand the Bible is saying, you're going to get backlash. Some people going to say it's real easy, you know, some simple like, oh, you don't tithe anymore? And then some people are like, well, I was told I was a son of perdition once because of something I did in the church. You know, so the change and the challenge to change is easy for some but hard for others. In the end, it's easy for me to say, it's so easy for me to say, you just need to step out on faith. But that's easy for me to say because I have stepped out on faith. I have a relationship with God where I know if I step out on faith, I have enough with God that regardless of what happened, my faith is going to secure me. My faith is going to hold me. My faith is going to carry me. My faith is going to push me. But then there are those that have been in the church 40, 50, 60 years, and they don't have that faith. They're doing the norm just because mama did it this way, mama did it this way. And I mean, long story short, It's action individually. My mindset is always doing big changes. So it's hard for me to see the individual small changes in a lot of cases. But I believe that's where we are right now. Some people are not going to be able to go to their pastor, go to their minister, go to their deacon, go to their spouse, go to their brother and sister, and begin this dialogue and talk about this. So you have to find individually how you're going to be able to accept the challenge to change, because once you understand and know God, God holds you accountable to him, not to the pastor, not to my spouse, not to my neighbor, not to my brother, my sister, not to my ministry leader, not to my choir director, but to him. And so I'm thinking more so as the conversation needs to switch or divert or head in the direction of how do we make the change? Because me personally, I am challenged to change. I am challenged in my thinking. I am challenged in my acting. I have been challenged in my tithing. And so for me, the resolve and the answer is to dig more. That's why I love this about tithing. I've learned so much that I've been challenged. So for me, it's about education, but then it's about application.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am now, and I'm not trying to, you know, JR, you know, wherever God takes you and leads you in this. But for me right now, my focus is, you know, where is my challenge to change? How do I accept my challenge to change? Where do I institute my challenge to change? Because it's different for everybody.
And that's a very good point. Because of the fact that it is different from everybody, there has to be somebody that they can connect with because of the difference, because of the diversity. Some of the things I was just listening to y'all, and I thank y'all for everything that y'all have been saying so far. So here's what I've come up with, or at least what I've been hearing. What can we do about this? Educate. Hold a forum. Ask God why I'm doing it. Why am I tithing, God? Invite people to the PRF table. I really like that one. Stop saying just tithe. That's a big one. Because if somebody tells another person, just stop tithing, then it should open up an opportunity for a further conversation. And a three-letter word that is so powerful, why? And then now I'm able to engage that person in dialogue and conversation by telling them why you should stop paying tithes. Another thing was make yourself available. Make yourself accessible. When people have questions, everybody's not going to come and listen to the PRF table every Thursday. Some people are never going to go listen to the archive. there's a brother that I take a CD to every week because I know this brother is not going to get online and listen to the radio show. I know he's not going to pick up the phone and listen to it that way. So I'm not going to be ignorant, right? I'm not going to say, well, this brother, I really want the ratings. I want this brother to do it so that the ratings can be calculated. It's not about that. We're not even going to go that route. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to take the CD, burn the CD, and I'm going to take it to the brother. I don't have to do that. I don't charge him anything. But if he's asking, the best thing for me to do is respond. How hard is that? How hard is that? So for me, there's a lot of things that I have been hearing on the show tonight that can be done. The question is, after that, what is it that you want to do? Some Sunday schools are not going to allow this conversation inside of their Sunday schools. I know we're not going to have it in my church. Let's just be honest. I mean, it is what it is. Because when I go back to, okay, well, let's talk about Numbers verse chapter 18, verse 21 to 32. And I start saying, well, let's talk about who they were speaking to. Who was God speaking to in that particular book of the Bible? And when I tell you that God was speaking to Moses to speak to the Levites, and he was talking to him about a commandment. It was a commandment of God, of course, but it was about payment of service. Payment for the service that the Levites were doing in the tent of meeting, which is something that we can take a leap forward and say, equivalent to the church for today. And what God said was, all the tithes are coming to the sanctuary. All the tithes are coming here to the tent of meeting. And you are to get a tenth of the tithe. I'm setting that up. So God said, what God did, he set it up where the Levites, the priests, were to get 10%, get a tithe of the tithe that people brought. Yes, I know I'm stepping into it again. Because if I give a tithe check of $500, if we want to keep, you know, flip-flopping back and forth between Old Testament and New Testament, what is it, how are we going to take this Old Testament and we're going to incorporate it into the New Testament and still use this commandment of tithing, which is an Old Testament command and Old Testament principle, then I would say if God commanded for the Levites back in Numbers to get a tenth of the tithe, here we go, get ready. And why are we paying salaries to pastors? which will exceed, in most cases, 10%. The whole reason why God told the Levites, you get 10%, one, because they didn't have any inheritance in the land which God was sending them into, and also for them to be reliant upon God. It is very crucial. If the man of God, the woman of God in that pastoral position or whatever is relying upon God versus the people, then he or she is always going to be taken care of. If you rely on the people before you rely on God, then you're going to need a contract. You're going to need to know that you're going to have to make $400 a Sunday. I'm done. Go ahead, because we all know where this is going. We all know where this is going. That's the type of stuff that people are seeing. That's the type of stuff that I've seen. I'm not going to talk about a week. I've seen that crap. If I've seen it, other people have seen it. The question is, what do people do? They go, and I told people this in Sunday school about a month ago. People are not turning their back on God. People don't want to come to church because they don't want to be involved with God. People are tired of the foolishness from the people of God.
Yeah.
So let's educate. Let's just educate. I promise you, if God ever calls me the pastor, this is going to be convicting me. If they say, well, you know what, we're going to pay you $1,000 a Sunday, you know what, we need to see what's coming in on the tithe. Because if I allow God to take care of me, if I teach and preach the word of God like he has given to me, and you do what you're supposed to do, I'm going to be blessed abundantly. I'm going to be blessed more so than a $400 check Sunday. And then we wonder why the people are not tithing. Because if the people see that the pastor is doing better than they are, and they're getting over and above what the people are giving. Come on now. My mic has been dropped. I need some water. I'm done.
If I can, I want to talk a little bit on what Brother Sister said. about being challenged to change.
Run with it, Paula. Run with it.
Okay. He mentioned about being challenged to change, but I know my challenge was when God told me to stop tithing. And one thing, I wonder if people really would be obedient to God if he gave them such a drastic challenge to make
right.
a change. Because,
right.
once again, I do understand that change starts within. So if it, as an individual change, someone else who's watching me is going to change it, and then it grows into a virus. And then the body of Christ can change as a whole.
Uh-huh.
But it starts with one person. And the problem is, if we get a word from God and it's something as devastating as stop tithing right now, would somebody really do that? Or would they be concerned with what the pastor going to think if I stop tithing? Or
right.
can I afford to
right.
stop tithing? Because most pastors do teach, if you think you can't afford to tithe, the truth is you really can't afford not to tithe. That's a cliche I heard a very long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
But as Brother Dunlap just said, you know, when a pastor is living larger than I am, he can afford to tell me, yeah, you can't afford not to tithe. Because
mm-hmm.
he can give however much he wants, if he gives anything at all. But the truth of the matter is, a lay person may only have enough for their bills. So am I going to steal from the light bill man who I owe in order to put this money in church?
You,
who am
you
I
know
impressing?
What?
I'm not impressing God because he knows what my account looks like.
Good word. But your words is the condition of the storehouse. Now, I'm not, we got to be responsible with this thing as well, right? So we're not saying that if there's 30 people in the church and 20 of them just want to go and spend their money and do whatever they want to do, and then expect when they get in trouble that the church needs to have money to bail them out. We're not talking about that. But I'm talking about there are some doggone people that I know that tithe faithfully. Tithe faithfully, 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 before I started tithing. And can't get assistance from the church. And see, this is the thing. Maybe we need to remove this word assistance. It ain't a system. This ain't the government. This ain't a handout. It's a thing of love. So, dear, you brought it up very, very clearly. You talked about Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. Let's go there. People sold their possessions and brought it to the apostles' feet. You know what you never hear? You know what you don't read? You don't read about any issues of distribution. You don't read about a whole bunch of different parameters about distribution. You don't read about it. At least I haven't. It's not there. So that lets you know if the heart is right, if the Spirit of God is communicating to those individuals, we don't have to worry about some of the stuff we're going. Evidently, the system that so many of us have experienced is broke, which is why we are talking about it right now. It has to be broke. If it wasn't broke, then we would have a whole lot more people calling in saying, Brother Dunlap, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but here's my experience. My experience is different. Sister Paula, I hear what you're saying, sis, but you know what? Here's what my experience is. If we have less testimonies about what God is doing and what churches are doing, there's something wrong with the picture. If we have less testimonies and less people that are willing to talk about what God is doing in this tithing thing.
Nate, I was just chatting with a good friend of mine, and he's from out of Atlanta, and I was just telling him about the show, and he just made a comment, and I asked him if I could share it, but I just wanted to see what anyone's take on this was. He said, it's interesting, the storehouse may be in short supply, because people may be unwilling to step out on the very faith they claim to have.
Can I hit this?
Hit it.
That's a good point. Stepping out on the faith they claim to have. But the reality is, are we putting it on them that they have faith? You can't put on somebody else that they have faith just because they're a Christian, that they got faith in this system of tithing.
Well, I was looking at the leaders, where their faith was.
Meet all of us, regardless of who it is. We can't put that on the leaders like they have faith. You can't put it on the people as if they have faith. What God did when he talked about tithing over and over, I gave you three scriptures, and it's not, it's more in there, but I gave you three scriptures, right? God talked about it enough before the people got to a place. We're dealing with the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
The cart is rolling down the hill, and we're on the horse trying to catch it. So, again, I'm passionate about what I'm saying because I know there's so many people that are out there. This whole model that God has given, that God gave me back in 2008 for PRF, this is, tithing is the third component of PRF. It's hard to get to credit. It's hard to get to debt. It's hard to get to wills. It's hard to get to inheritance. It's hard to get to those other components of the PRF model when we got so much work to do on just tithing alone. How the heck are you going to get to giving? How are you going to get to giving when we still got so many questions and people, so many people have so many questions about tithing? And not enough, knows my language, not enough outlets to have conversation about tithing. And I agree with what whoever said it. I think, Paula, you said it best. Maybe some churches, you know, you have to be real. Some churches probably don't want this conversation. But you know what that says? There's something wrong with their faith.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with their faith if the Spirit of God is saying, you know what, you're just giving 10%. I don't want your money. God, all throughout the Bible, was very, very clear about us just bringing stuff to him.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That includes the doggone tithe. It includes your 10% that you're giving as a tithe. And I promise you, I'm done for real this time.
Mm.
You know, JR, I actually was a member of a church where, and it's sad. I hate to say it, but I'm going to put it out there. I was a member of a church where their pastor made decisions based on the people.
Mm.
This pastor's health was bad. This pastor had a housing allowance. This pastor had a food and allowance, you know, and so the decisions, a lot of decisions were based on the people. And this was proven a couple of times with a couple of situations that there was no issues from his foxhole, from his perspective. But then all of a sudden, some people said some things that were nameless, and now there's a problem. And it goes back to what you said. The Bible says four times, the just shall live by faith. And the Bible also says we walk by faith and not by sight. And we use that loosely. We use that, and I know I'm using the word we use that so loosely. I use that loosely. If this relationship with God is about faith, God gives us more than enough opportunities to exercise our faith. The Bible also says, and I think this is where we're confused and we think these are the blessings of God. The Bible says that if you want your reward on earth, you will have your reward on earth. So with that could be a misconception of God is blessing me. Yes, he's blessing you, but he's giving you your heavenly reward on earth. I just wonder, if you get all your reward on earth, what's left for heaven? Eternity is going to be a lonely, long, long place with a shack. I'm just saying. The just shall live by faith. If we claim ourselves to be faithful, then our lives should be. You know, what distinguishes a person as a person of faith? I preached this once. I taught this on Bible study.
when Noah, I said, matter of fact, I did preach it. People that have faithful testimonies are called crazy. When Noah was told to build the ark, there was no water around, no sign of a flood. So I'm sure everybody called him crazy. But Abraham was told to leave your country and go to a place where I tell you, and he packed up his bags and left. You know, the Bible doesn't deal with the dialogue that he had with people that encountered. But we know people, and we know people looked at them like they were crazy. And the Bible gave us an example in Job. Everybody looked at him like he was crazy, but Job was like, wait a minute now. I know I'm doing right. At least I think I'm doing right. But everybody looked at him crazy. So faithful living looks crazy. And let's go to our ultimate example. Look at Jesus. Jesus was executed because of his faithful living. So faithful living is not pretty. Faithful living is peculiar. Faithful living is questionable. Faithful living has people wondering, not, man, you're doing an excellent job living for the Lord, but man, what in the world are you thinking? I'm done. This right here has really got me, it really got me at a point to where it goes back to, JR, you've been saying this over and over and over and over again. It goes back to that challenge to be changed, the challenge to change. It goes back to that. And that's my ending comment. So, JR, when it's time for a closing comment, I've already given mine. that's it.
Let me go ahead. Before I go, Sister Sanders, do you have anything that you want to, before we attempt to try to sign off for the evening?
You know what? I wanted to say this at the beginning, but I really think that it fits now. And it's, you know, just us talking, but I looked up the definition of storehouse, and it says where abundance of supply, where blessings are. And in Deuteronomy 20:12, it says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty. Heaven is the storehouse. And I just think that it is so fitting that we keep that in perspective, that the storehouse is limitless. It goes beyond. I mean, in that storehouse, it says that's where the abundance of supply is. And so if I can just pass on to everybody, it's just to understand what the storehouse is and how the storehouse is there to be a blessing to us and how there's supposed to be an abundance of supply in the storehouse. And that's the only thing I have. I really enjoyed tonight. I'm just excited and feel like I can run tonight. Help me, Brother Feet.
You about to run on to see what they ain't gonna do.
Yes.
Paula, go ahead, my sister.
All I can say is tonight was a feast. It was absolutely great. I felt good sitting back listening and learning for a change. but this is awesome, and to the brother who asked, where do we start, what do we do? We start here and opening our ears to the voice of God, because God speaks to each and every one of us. And some of the things that he says, they are challenging, but it goes in line with that faithful living that Pastor Shear spoke of. Living faithful to God is responding to his word, and not so much as believing what the majority is doing is correct, because God can speak to you as an individual. As Brother Feast, I believe, mentioned, when God spoke to Noah about building the ark, there was no water around, but it was an assignment. And when you know God and you know his voice, you know to listen and to be obedient and to accept that challenge. And that challenge will lead you to change. So with that, I'm going to say good night, and I thank you all for having me once again.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, at 8 o'clock on next Thursday, and I think we're just going to continue on. I don't think God is done with us, and I don't think he's done with you in this subject of tithing. The question is, what is meat and what is a storehouse? I think we've answered it to the best of our ability tonight. I'm glad you said what you said, Sister Paula, that tonight was a feast, because that's what we're really trying to get across. That's really one of the things that God is really showing us of what we need to be doing. So if tonight was a feast and we're talking about meat in the storehouse, then that means there has to be something that people are going to be able to get nourished with. So we just pray that God will just settle in everything that's been said tonight into the hearts and the minds of people, so that whatever you need to do as the listeners and make whatever changes need to be changed, we pray that God gives you the strength and that you just hold on to his hand. You know, I think about how many times so many people have been hurt by the church, and I recall a story of a lady who I was talking to yesterday, and I'll end on this note. And what she told me was this, that her brother was injured in an accident, and his brother is only in his young 20s. And through all of the situation that he was going through, he's married, has a family. He went to the church. His wife said, baby, we probably just need to get back in the church. And she told me yesterday that every time she talked to him, all she heard from her brother was that all they talk about was tithing. Give your tithes, give your money, give your tithes, give your money. And I said, you know what? Anybody who hears that, heart should just break. Like the temple curtain rent, everybody's heart should break when you hear what I just said, because that means that there's somebody who has gone to the storehouse for something and didn't receive it because of this subject that we're talking about today. Let me know that, yes, there is a problem that is out there that we need to be dealing with. So what we're going to do is come back next week. We're going to continue the conversation from now until then on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. We would love for you to engage in the conversation, because as we do, we're going to continue it as well. So we love you. This is the PRF Table. I'm Brother Dunlap. On behalf of Sister Brooks, Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster, Pastor Sherry, we know you are out there. You know, we thank you for listening, and come back and join with us again next week. God bless you. He can see.